Good evening. Welcome back to Bedtime Stories with Thompson. We are reading Swiss Family Robinson by Johann Wiss. This is Chapter 5, A Tortoise Takes Us for a Ride. It's a kangaroo, I said. To the best of my knowledge, however, kangaroos have never been seen anywhere other than on the coast of Australia. It was that famous explorer, Captain Cook, who originally discovered them. How are we going to get it home? Asked Ernest. If we drag it on the ground, we'll spoil its beautiful skin. Why don't we tie its front legs together and carry it the rest of the way on these two canes here to the sled you boys made? I suggested, and that is what we did. Back at Falcon's Nest, we skinned the kangaroo and cut its meat in pieces, some of which we planned to eat immediately, the rest we would salt and store for future use. Elizabeth was delighted with the new supplies of food. "Your fish is magnificent," she said, praising Ernest's 15-pound catch. "We will certainly dine in splendor tonight." Early the next morning, Fritz and I sailed back to the wreck to collect the last of the stores. The first thing we did was to make a large raft to help accommodate all our booty. Then we searched the ship and unearthed many unusual items that would be valuable to us as settlers in a new land. After all, the ship had originally been outfitted for that very purpose. "Come here, Fritz," I called from the captain's cabin. "You won't believe what I have found." "How beautiful!" cried Fritz as he ran to the chest at my feet and gazed down at the gold and silver watches, necklaces, and rings that the chest contained. Once he got over his amazement, he tugged at my arm and cried, "Now you must see what I discovered in a cask under the stairs!" I followed him to the cask, and it was soon my turn to be amazed. "Why, there is every species of European fruit here," I cried as I peered in at the dozens of young plants that had been carefully packed in moss. "I see pear, plum, peach, apple, apricot, chestnut trees, and vine shoots." "Are you going to plant them on the island?" Fritz asked. "I most certainly am. Keep looking. There must be other things we can use." And there were, including the pieces for a small sailing ship, which we planned to assemble and bring to shore on our next trip. By the time we had finished, both the raft and the tubboat were overflowing with supplies. At the last minute, Fritz tossed in a fishing net, the ship's compass, and two harpoons to which he had attached long ropes. "I'm going to keep these in the bow," he said. "Then if we spot a big fish, we will be ready this time." I nodded my approval, and we pushed out into the current, pulling our raft behind us with a strong rope. The sea was calm, and the wind drew us gently along. "There's something ahead," Fritz said. "Look through your telescope, Father, and tell me what it is." "It's a tortoise," I cried. "Why, he's fallen asleep in the sun right on top of the water. Steer close to him so that we can take a good look at him." As I changed our direction, Fritz's back was to me, so I could not see what he was doing. Suddenly, there was a violent jerking of the boat, and it began moving as fast as a speeding bullet through the water. Alarmed now, I cried, "For heaven's sake, Fritz, what are you doing?" "I speared him," Fritz yelled. "I speared him with my harpoon." Looking ahead, I saw that Fritz was right. The tortoise, wounded by the harpoon that had lodged in its flesh, was pulling us directly out to sea. As the boat moved faster and faster, my heart began to beat wildly. I grasped the sides of the boat and prayed. When I looked up, I saw to my relief that the tortoise was headed straight toward our usual landing place. When we were almost there, the tide threw us up on a sandbank near the shore, and I stepped out of the boat to release the poor sea turtle. However, it suddenly plunged beneath the water and disappeared. Following the rope, I soon saw the tortoise stretched out across the white sandy bottom. Knowing that the creature was in pain, I mercifully cut off its head with a hatchet and ended its suffering. We plowed our way through the water, the head of our sea prize on the muzzle of our gun. "Hello, hello," Fritz called out as we neared the shore. "What have we here?" cried Elizabeth as she and the younger boys rushed to greet us. "A tortoise, my dear, and one who has given me the fastest ride of my life. Is our sled handy so we can haul it up to the tent house?" "Yes, it is. You can load it right on, along with some of the new provisions I see." Later that day, after we were settled, we flipped the tortoise on its back so that we could remove its shell and make use of the meat. Taking my hatchet, I separated the upper shell, which was round, from the bottom one, which was flat. "Let me clean out the round shell," offered Fritz. "It will make an excellent bowl for washing clothes." "Fine idea, but let's not get so busy that we forget our last job on the wreck, bringing in the ship's boat we found in the hold." "But it's in so many pieces, Father." "Then we will have to put them together." Every day for 1 week, we left early in the morning and returned to the island late at night. Finally, the sleek little sailing ship was ready, and we lowered her into the water. The yacht had a small, neat deck, several masts, billowing sails, and two small cannons nailed to its deck. As we approached shore, Fritz said, "Let's shoot off the cannon for Mother." Elizabeth, Francis, and a very bewildered little monkey, his fingers in his ears, came down to inspect the ship. "Come on, Mother, climb aboard," Fritz called, extending the hand. "We have decided to call our new ship the Elizabeth." "I'm touched," Elizabeth said, hugging us both. "We have accomplished a lot in the 3 weeks we have lived here. Now come see what I have done. Do I ever have a surprise for you?" End of chapter 5.
Man, we should just... Man, let's do another chapter. I love it.
We'll be back tomorrow. Good night. Oh.